What time is it? Game
time. Get ready for Triple M's Rush Hour. Andrew Jarman.
Beautiful to Jarman. Bang, another nail.
Bernie Vince.
Vince, no goal kicker, brings the house down.
And Greg Blewett.
There it is. A magnificent performance from young Greg Blewett.
Adelaide's Ultimate Sports Show on every afternoon. Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Jars.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to your Rush Hour on the 15th of September, 2021. The time is going so fast, but it's good fun. We've got plenty to get through. We've got plenty to get through on this Wednesday.
You're
We've
right.
got a chock-a-block show coming your way, and one man that is just passionate about his state, loves his golf, loves his family, a bit emotional family because one of his dear friends has announced his retirement. I welcome you to Bernie Vince. Hello, young man.
Oh, you welcome me to Bernie Vince.
No, I said hello, welcome. Oh, hello, Bernie Vince, welcome.
No, you didn't.
Because you're going to just
tell us
that you're a little bit emotional about one of your comrades.
I know you do things in your own way, and that's what I
love
about you.
Well, that's how I roll.
You've got your own language. Yes, Nathan Jones to hang
Thank
up
you.
The boots. Obviously, left the Perth hub, came home, had twins. And we all thought he probably was going to retire, but he's made that official. And just a great story.
Heart
of the
and soul
Melbourne
of that football club.
You think of Melbourne, you know, 7 or 8 years ago, and you think, if you think of Melbourne, you think of Nathan Jones and that bald head and just cracking
he's
in.
He's stuck
and
fat with that football club through the tough times,
Could
didn't
have
he?
Left a number of times to more successful clubs, but stuck it out. Just would have been a beautiful fairy tale if he could have been in the
side. There's no fairy tales in football,
in the next weekend. But no, he's not in the best 22 and that team's flying, so he'll just get as much, I guess, good feelings about them winning than playing, because he's been a huge part of it.
Yeah, and Port Adelaide, who are they chasing from GWS?
Well, Jeremy Finlayson is on their radar now, so that's a key forward. This is a concern
that's
for the Giants more so than a gain for Port. It'd be a huge gain, but... Yeah. They lost Jeremy Cameron last year.
Yes, they did.
Finlayson sort of replaced him. Well, he was in the side when Cameron was there, but he was the key forward, the only one this year. And then if they lose him again, like another one, that's going to be a real concern for the Giants. But they do find a way somehow, and they did
so
again this year.
So he's done a medical
year.
At Port Adelaide.
He has done a medical. Wow. So I think he was an Adelaide supporter, Jazz, growing
didn't
up.
Didn't he love someone in this room?
Well, I did read his bio at one
say?
Stage, and it was in the footy record.
Yeah,
and
it said,
favourite player. You're looking at him.
Oh, what a... You're joking.
Well, it's not too often
you know what?
That you get
I agree with him, because you were
sometimes.
My favourite Crows player until they sacked you.
Yeah, well, you probably didn't.
Well, you know I've always been there.
Yeah, I know you have.
I'm still filthy with the club.
What about your week, Jars? Training last night, grand final week. How are they looking?
Yeah,
the boys up and about.
Yes,
they're
they
not
are.
Getting too ahead of themselves, just one day at a time.
We always have a bit of dialogue on the boys, and they're excited. Yeah, for a lot of them, they've never played in a grand final.
How exciting is that? Home
well,
grand
that's
final
what we play
this year
for.
Too,
yes.
Which is a big positive.
The South Gawler Football Club. So the two Gawler teams.
Yep.
So the Gawler town itself will be pretty busy and up and about.
How many
so
are they realistically expecting? How many can they have?
I think it's 5,000 to 6,000.
Jeez.
Yeah, Williston Oval.
Five or
and
6,000.
And the oval is in pristine condition.
Oh, yeah, it would be.
Boys training.
Because you wouldn't have played
night.
On it for a little while. Just
no,
training.
We haven't. Yeah, just train, yeah.
To be in pristine. Nick's.
I'm just proud of everyone. But we'll talk a bit more about that tomorrow, if not Saturday morning. Now, Burn, we got a lot of guests coming in. Now, what else did I have to say, Burn? Burn, okay.
No, there is something you need to say, but I'm not going to say what it is.
You've had your second jab.
First jab.
Oh.
I got my first jab today.
You look a bit pale. You all right?
No, I'm all good. I'm actually feeling really good.
And what did you do that you shouldn't have done?
Well, I went for a 5K hard run. I wanted to... I like a bit of pain every now and then, Joe. So
straight after
I just
jab.
Forgot. I forgot you're not meant to do
rest.
That after his jab.
Yes,
no.
Boy.
I stopped and I'd been stopped for a while, cooled down, and I actually even had a shower and everything, and then.
Canetto's.
But my forehead just started sweating out of nowhere. And
you
I was
were.
Like, I don't feel,
you feel
bad.
All right?
I had just had another shower,
nice.
Wiped the sweat off my
That's a
head, and I'm right now. But I haven't felt
you're
anything.
You're ready to go.
I reckon the second one's a little bit worse. So
okay. Tommy Rockcliffe will join us for the 700th time this week.
Yeah. What's he going to tell us we don't already know about him?
Well, I got some mail on him too, which he doesn't know about.
Yeah, you spotted
Mark
him.
Mark Bosnich.
Yes. GG.
Yeah.
He's joining us to talk about what, G?
To talk. He's part of the stand team
G.
for the UEFA Champions League team.
Well done. Heath Shaw.
Heath. Yes, he did. Well, he's on SAS
last night.
Australia. So, some tough
tough. He's on the back of the buses too.
What? He's the pin-up boy.
He's the pin-up boy.
Oh, right. Yeah, I watched last night. Could you do it or not? I reckon I could. We sort of did similar things with footy camps.
Did you? You love the tunnels?
I love all that stuff.
Deal
with, I don't mind dealing with things
I could jump
come.
Off a building without a parachute. I love it.
People probably.
Oh, no.
All right, let's go, Jim.
Too far, Ben. Too far.
He said it.
He did.
Are we good?
Where's Greg?
We're okay. No, surely not. No. I apologise. Sorry. Jazz, come back. I didn't mean that. You said it. Sorry.
Listen, Rocky.
On Triple M's Rush Hour.
Rockcliffe.
From the Port Adelaide Football Club.
Rockcliffe's got one.
Please welcome Tom Rockcliffe.
Now he's got his name in the paper.
Yep. Well, we've got him on for the seventh time in the last 4 days. A good friend of ours. We love this young man, Tommy Rockcliffe. Good afternoon, Tom.
How are you going, gentlemen?
Now, Tommy, before we start to get into the, insipid performance last Saturday night. Now, we're out on Grange Road. I was going to get my coffee and paper down at my little shop there, and I looked in the rear mirror, and there was a young Tom Rockcliffe who looked very seedy. Oh, no. Coffee in hand, lovely wife next to in passenger.
Well, that's a positive.
Kids, and really struggled. Shook the hair at the lights as if to say, I'm hungover like there's no tomorrow. Why were you driving that car?
I wasn't. I was in the passenger side. Was I drunk or was it you?
I was in America now.
Oh, you didn't look well, young man, did you? You had a big one, didn't you?
No, I was actually fresh Monday morning and we went round to Robbie's for... Went and caught up with the boys and had a few beers and then went round to Robbie Gray's and had some pizza with his family and my family and watched the F1 and watched Daniel Ricciardo win.
How is that relationship going? Because apparently you're inseparable, you and Robbie Gray. No one's seen you, you just walk around holding hands. Is that true?
Oh, it's pretty close to the truth. We have a little spoon. We make sure that on away trips we always share a room or share a bed.
Jeez, that's getting a bit deep. Hey, from the weekend, it's Wednesday now. Have you reviewed the weekend's game? The boys, have they come out of shock?
Oh, I'm not sure. I think everyone's still a little bit in shock. Like, credit to where credit's due. I mean, the Bulldogs were bloody outstanding on Saturday night. They came in with a plan, executed it, and we just couldn't fire a shot. Everything we tried, they just shut it down. And, I mean, you play a game of footy and you have 89 turnovers, particularly through the mid-arc. It's going to be hard to win any game of footy.
Did they surprise you? Did you underestimate how good they could potentially play?
Yeah, I think so. We know how good they are. Like, by rights, they probably should have finished top two.
Yeah.
We took it off them. They were the top team for most of the year, and then we managed to beat them in the last round to bunny hop them. And to their credit, they've just found a way through the final series. And but they were simply irresistible on the weekend, and we were off, and we couldn't wrestle any momentum back. Everything, as I said before, we tried, it just didn't work. We got beaten around the contest, which is probably the most disappointing thing. We pride ourselves on that at Port Adelaide to go hard after that hard footy and make sure we win that. And I think we were minus 30 about 15 minutes into the game, and never recovered from there.
Rock, I know coaching staff and players need time to digest what happened and still embarrassed and trying to scratch their head. Now, your coach will obviously do something on Friday because Port fans want to know what the hell happened. What did happen?
Yeah, I don't think anyone has an answer right now. I mean, you're going to have to review it
but
quite
Rock,
heavily.
Rock, what happened? Well, no one came to play on Saturday night. That's what happened. They didn't come to play Port Adelaide.
You let me finish, I'll get to it. But just jump in. You're up and about, aren't you? You must have won on the weekend. You're in a grand final.
Here we are, Rock. You coming?
Well, I'm surprised that you haven't been offered a senior gig somewhere or part of an AFL club.
They won't touch me.
Carlton has spoken
to me.
Well, they've spoken to everyone else. Gone out.
Yeah, you're right. We clearly didn't turn up and we weren't hungry for the contest like we have been. And as I said, and a lead in the game, we all acknowledge that we had a really good build-up. So to put your finger on one thing and say, this is what it was, it's hard to do at the moment. But, I mean, you've got to turn up with the right mindset and attitude and the contested footy. And we've been able to wrestle momentum back in the past. I think we did for a five-minute period in the third quarter.
Yep.
And those two touch balls, I mean, Marshall's touch on the mark and then Motlop touch on the goal line. If we kick them two, we've kicked the first five in 5 or 6 minutes of the third quarter, all of a sudden you're back to 30-odd points and you're thinking, well, hang on, we're a chance. But once they went against us, it was just all over. And we didn't deserve to be back that close, probably. They were, as I said, they outplayed us from the first bounce to the last bounce. And this one will sting a fair bit. And,
yeah.
I mean, you have the conversations this week with the playing group and boys, and I'm still not sure which you would prefer. I think you'd prefer to lose by 6 points, but the emotional overcoming of that is still hard because you're so close, but yet so far. And then to be blown off the park like we were, it's going to take a resilient group. But I think we've got the right group down at Alberton. I mean, it's a reasonably young group with a few old heads amongst it and some really classy older guys. So, I mean, the footy club's shown their recruiting strategies and drafting policies in the past have been second to none over the last couple of years. So, I mean, I think Finlayson's been linked to the club today. Dawson's indicated that he wanted to come home. So there's a fair bit of salary cap freed up from me retiring. So, there's a good opportunity to bring in some more talent.
Yeah,
you said you've got the right group. What about some individuals' performances again? Have you had some honest conversations with each other? And have you got the right group? That's probably the bigger question.
Well, I think so. Two preliminary finals. I mean, you finish the top two in the last 2 years. We finished on top last year. We finished top two this year. So it's hard to argue that we don't have the right group. I mean, we've just got to execute better. And we spoke about it, like the last year's prelim, we were a kick away against the best team over the last 4 years from a grand final berth. And then this year we got blown away from a really good team. And we've got to review that and own it as a footy club. But we've got to move past it as well. It's not, the world hasn't ended. The sun's come up the last 4 days. So it's about what we do from here and the unity that we have. And I think we do have the right group. And it's just about how we bounce back.
Chatting with Tom Rockcliffe from the Porto Footy Club. What is Tommy Rockcliffe going to be doing in 2022? Are we going to be staying in Adelaide? Are we got a possibility of going into a coaching role interstate? Where are you at with all that?
Pretty close to making a decision, so it won't be too far away, I don't think. I'm just waiting for a couple of contracts to come through to weigh up which one looks the best. So, I mean, Bluey hasn't been there for a couple of weeks. Maybe he's got the writing on the wall.
He ain't coming back.
I'll probably make a decision within the next week, I would have thought. So
excellent.
Once that's all signed and dotted, and we'll move forward from there. But we're really excited. It's Jack's birthday today. He's 4, so I'm going to take him out for a hit of golf this afternoon.
Happy birthday, young man.
And Shana's 37 weeks pregnant. So, yeah, it's an exciting time for our family.
Bloody oath.
Well, just be careful if she's swinging the golf club.
Yeah, good luck.
What could happen there? So what's happened this week? Exit meetings. Do you have an exit meeting or you've already exited?
You've
already cleaned the locker.
Yeah.
After Saturday night, I just said, oh, look, there's no point in me coming in, is there? I'll see you at the best and fairest in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Now, Robbie Gray just texted, wants us to play his favourite song when you two catch up.
Oh, no.
Now, Henley Oval's got a pottery class there.
They sure do. In the corner over there,
that's the boy.
We normally do a pottery class as we watch you do your 100-metre sprints.
Which take you a minute.
Or would you call them sprints, Charles, or what would you call them?
Waddles. They just run throughs, mate.
I think you're rolling the wicket half the time.
On that note, thank you for your time, mate. We'll speak again. I know you're going to be helping out in the Sanford Grand Final lineup.
Yes, I'll be calling next to you, so look out.
There you go, Ben. God. Yes.
I might listen to that.
The tradition continues. Take care, mate. My shout for a froth next.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Good luck on the weekend, Jarvis.
Thanks, buddy.
I might try and venture out there depending how I wake up.
Good on you,
Saturday
mate.
Morning.
Pleasure. Tom Rockcliffe there from the Porto Footy Club. This is your Dead Set Lad. This is your rush hour.
Why don't you just leave that to me?
Sorry. Well, mate. And your shout, is it? Well, yeah, I might come too.
Yeah, it is.
There's a few sharks around Henley, is there?
Oh. Bit, yeah. He's a member of the Stan Sport UEFA Championship League team, and it's up and about, Boone.
Oh,
we
is.
Spoke to this man. We love this man. He's a much-loved figure around the world, and I just want to ask him before I bring him in, does he love doing pottery classes? Good afternoon, Boz. Mark Bosnich, welcome.
Good afternoon. Oh, no. I've never done a pottery class in my life, but I'm willing to try anything. I always try anything once,
I've got this obsession with pottery classes.
Yeah, you're something wrong with this.
All right, that's okay.
Nah,
that's
okay. The movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore.
Yeah, okay, I remember that from a young kid.
Lovely,
remember that all those years back. Very good. Very good.
Would you be in the front or the back?
Oh.
Who, me?
Yeah, doing the pottery, you know, when that song was on. That,
Demi Moore.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
I reckon you're a Patty Swayze. I'm more Demi Moore.
So Boz is standing behind you.
Yes.
Just sculpting bloody clay.
Yes.
Now I've got that in my head. I can't get rid of it.
Now we're doing a plate.
That's not good.
UEFA, let's talk about the Championship League. Barcelona v. Bayo and Liverpool v. Milan. These matches will be exciting to watch.
Yes, they will. Well, we had this morning, obviously, Barcelona went down at home and compounded the problems that they've got at the moment. The first game without Lionel Messi in the Champions League since 2004, ooh, beaten convincingly by Barcelona, by Bayern Munich, rather. They were excellent this morning. The system that they play is constant pressure, and really Barcelona had no answer to it. And in the end, it could have been more but for the goalkeeping of Ter Stegen. And tomorrow morning's game, the main game, and there's a whole host of games, there's eight games, but the main game will be Liverpool versus AC Milan. For all those Liverpool, and I guess not so much AC Milan supporters, will bring back memories of that two famous finals, one in 2005, and when Liverpool were down 3-0 at halftime and came back and won on penalties, and then again in 2007 when Milan got their revenge. So huge game for tomorrow. But the biggest news, I think, from this morning was Manchester United getting beat by Young Boys of Switzerland.
Now, Boz, what about Ronaldo in his Premier League return? Scored a double, but went down last night to who? I don't even know team.
Yeah. No, to Young Boys of Switzerland. In an amazing scenes, really. They scored basically in 4 minutes of overtime with a minute to go. Sabatu scored the winner after a poor back pass from Jess Lingard. And look, Manchester United, for me, were in control. They were up 1-0. A really good goal from Ronaldo once again. A wonderful ball in from Bruno Fernandes. And then Wan-Bissaka, their right back, got sent off just before half-time. Oh. And to be fair then to Young Boys, they really piled the pressure on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's men. And I thought in the end probably deserved their win because of the pressure they put on. But really puts Manchester United up against it again, losing their opening game. They got knocked out at the group stage last season. So they've got to be careful because their group is not an easy one. They've got Villarreal, who they lost to in the Europa League final last season, and Atalanta as well, who are no easy beats.
So, Boz, there's a team called Young Boys. I thought that was a nickname for a team.
Young Boys of Switzerland. Now, somebody asked me about that yesterday as well. Originally, when the club was formed, there was another club in Switzerland called Old Boys. So they turned around and said, we're going to call ourselves Young Boys. So there you go. So they're Swiss champions at the moment. But no one gave them really much of a hope of winning. There was a few people who thought they might, you know, get a point playing at home in the first game. But like I said, an amazing win. If you got a chance to look on the highlights of the scenes when Sabatu scored that winning goal right at the end, It was pure theatre, really, and just goes to show as well how, you know, regardless of what anyone says or thinks, yes, you know, we all like the big clubs, but it's important that these small, so-called smaller clubs, I don't mean to be disrespectful, get the opportunity to play against the big boys because that's the type of scenes that you can get.
That's great. We'll be logging on to have a look at the highlights. Love watching soccer highlights. Hey, what's next for the Socceroos in the World Cup qualifying? Because they're on fire at the moment.
They are. They've won, I think, something like 10 straight in the first phase of qualifying, and now they're into the final phase, and they won the opening two games. They've got, I think, three games coming up now over October and November. These are very important games. The games are going to be playing against the hardest teams in the group. They've already beaten China and Vietnam, but Oman, Saudi Arabia, and especially Japan will be very difficult for them. But I'm confident. I think... you know, Graham Arnold has settled on his team and on his system, what he wants to play. And the most important thing is, you know, a lot of people think that it's so easy just to go play champagne football against these teams, but it's not. These teams are very well organised in Asia. They defend very stoutly and they make it very difficult for you. And I think that, you know, they've got to avoid the trap that they set, which is to basically, you know, to think that you can really open up against them and all of a sudden they hit you on the break and then you're really up against it. So it's very important for the local games that they qualify for the World Cup.
Good stuff, Boz. Love your updates. And before I let you go, what is your favourite hobby?
Favourite hobby? Well, I wouldn't say it's a hobby because hobby sort of, I would say, indicates that it's something that you like to do for fun. But my main priority now is homeschooling and keeping the 4-year-old entertained during this lockdown.
How many kids, Boz?
How many you got?
Two. Four-year-old and a nine-year-old. So that's been the main thing. Yeah. My fiance is doing an amazing job, to be honest.
Well done.
because it's not been easy for them. So a lot of the times it's breaking up her and the nine-year-old during homeschooling. And the four-year-old just comes in and winds them up, you know, like halfway through it. And I'm like, I have to sort of keep the calm. So being able to go in finally and work on the Champions League is a bit of a respite, to be honest. I stayed in there for an extra 2 hours. I had my fiance ring in this morning saying, you know, I've got my second jab. You've got to be back by 10. I thought, okay, yeah. I got back at 9:59. So there you go.
Mate, we're thinking of you guys. Hang in there. Not far away before you'll be able to get your freedom back.
100%.
And good stuff, mate. We'll speak again.
Yeah. Tough times don't last, but tough people do.
Brilliant.
Love it.
The Furious Five. It's time for the most groundbreaking quiz to hit the airwaves.
I do not believe it.
Two callers ballot out by answering five questions. One with the most correct wins. It's time for the Furious Five. The Furious
Five. Jazz, I thought you weren't doing this. You quit this. You quit this last week. You walked out. And you said you're never doing this again.
I'm tired. I'm tired of the abuse that this segment cops. It started from the radio icon Sean Craig Murphy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He was
his no
barrage, his abuse, his negativity towards this segment, which is for the family. It's not about us.
And what he wears.
And so where's he now?
He's gone. No longer with us.
Another one gone. Blew it. Where's he now?
Oh, he's right. Not coming back.
So if you keep this up. And our producer, who's just started with us, keeps this up. Now, Emily, Gigi.
Get it right, Jazzy. You've known me for 3 years now.
She is the only one that's supportive of the Furious Five.
I support it. Mate. I do the questions.
So what? Where are they? Where are the contestants? Where are the two contestants?
Benny said to me, he said, well, there's something's happened with the Furious Five, but yeah. Bring it in and then I'll take it from there.
It's
so
sponsored,
what the hell's
isn't it sponsored?
I
the
think
segment?
It is, yeah.
No, the sponsorship got Benny. Pulled.
Benny's got that laughing thing he's got going again.
He's up to something.
No, no.
Benny's laughing.
The sponsorship got pulled.
Who was sponsoring?
Who got pulled?
The sponsors pulled out. The sponsors...
Is that because
vacated.
It's that bad?
Well, I spoke to, if what, you've got, there should be a little bit of audio there on your button bar there.
Who's the,
I went and spoke to
who
promotions.
Who were the sponsors?
Who were they? Not Automasters.
Yeah, it was Automasters.
They so Carl was a good friend of mine.
Well, anyway, I spoke to promotions. This is what they said to me yesterday.
Oh.
Hey, so I think we need to get rid of the Furious Five quiz. We can't seem to find anyone to sponsor it. So.
No one wants to touch it.
Not at all.
Why not?
We've tried so many people and... No one's keen.
Is it because it's Jarman's idea?
I mean, maybe.
Oh, oh no.
I'm just, we're transfer.
Who came to you? Who was that?
That's Alessia.
Oh, he's tipped his dog in.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
She knew. Just leave her.
Uh-oh.
Be kind.
Oh, no.
She's just started.
She's a gentle thing.
Why did you say a name?
Well,
Why did you throw her under the bus? This is your
idea. Here,
and
Bernard,
now he's gone out there. I can see him yelling at her.
She'll be fine.
Oh, she'll be fine. Maybe you should go check on her.
Okay,
oh,
so
no.
We're not doing the quiz?
No, there's no quiz.
Is that actually true, though? You didn't set her up. She just...
No, that's her talking.
And you can't get a sponsor.
No, there's no sponsor.
And no one... In the end, no one's calling up now as well. So what it's done is it's just creating a massive headache and hassle for everyone.
I reckon we get rid of it.
And he doesn't even come up with his own questions.
He's not even here now.
And he's just walked out. We're still recording.
And does every conversation around the station just get recorded?
Oh, gee, here he comes. He's coming back. Oh, he's running. He's running.
Young Alessio. Alessio.
Steve.
Alessio.
No, not Steve Alessio. The young lass that does promotions. She said they pulled out months ago, but we didn't get notified.
That's even worse. They've got all this free chat.
Jazz, that's worse. Shouldn't have told us that. That's worse, Jazz. You know that.
So where's the contestants? Where's the sponsors?
No, that's the thing.
No one wants to touch
Benny
it.
Just he opened up a little bit once you left the room. He said it's actually causing too much work to try and not only get sponsors but to get callers now.
Yeah,
there's three employees needed just for the Furious Five, and it's not weighing up with no sponsorship. We can't afford it, and people aren't returning our calls. They don't know what the Furious Five is.
He's grabbed it.
Why don't your mates at Cheeky Greek sponsor us?
What? Shut up.
Get at Williston Football Club this morning.
Have a drink, Jazz. Have a sip.
What about your mates downstairs that give you free food? What about
Freddie?
Kinetto.
Freddie.
Go get him on board.
So we're not doing it.
No, it's done.
It's gone.
Ring management.
We've got Heath Shaw coming up, so we'll ask him. We'll ask him if he wants to play the Furious Five.
It's time for me to go to another station.
If he got through SAS, he can...
Another station would like to take this segment. I tell you right now, young Ben Boone.
What are you saying?
Another station would take this segment.
Mm,
yeah.
Throw it in the bin.
No, they wouldn't.
Everyone's laughing at
take that, Charmin.
Let's go get Steve Alessio. See if he'll blow.
I'm so tired. I'm really tired.
That's funny.
This is the rush hour.
It's a rush hour.
With Bernie.
Yeah, that's it. SAS, Australian, it returns. Yes. And one of our favourites, I love watching this young man run around. Yep. A very gifted, talented athlete that played for Collingwood and GWS.
Yep.
He was there. He got smashed to the inch of his life. He joins us on the rush hour. Good afternoon, Heath Shaw.
G'day, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, geez, you sound a bit tired, a bit flat. You all right?
Well, mate, I had a sleepless night last night. Bring back some memories. SAS, what do they call it? PTSD. Oh. I had a little bit of that last night because the memories flashing out those clips in front of me, it's not great. And as much as it was the hardest thing I've ever done, it was the most rewarding. But, yeah, as I said, it was still hard to watch at times.
Hardest thing you've ever done. Was there any pre-season training to get sort of fit for it? Or you don't sort of strike me as the person that would do a lot of work for it, but you looked in good shape.
Mate, I trained harder for this than I ever have before in my life, like my 16-year AFL career, because, and you know this, Bernie, yes. Judge, you know this very well, you can fudge your way through pre-season, mate. There's a couple of little cheats you can cut corners to get yourself through a hard slog pre-season. And obviously football comes pretty natural to us. Being in the army doesn't come natural to me at all. And so you sort of got to cover all bases. So I put in the hours and put in the prep because, the unknown is the scary part.
Yeah, that was going to ask you about that. So the scariest part for me, I went on footy camps and sort of not as bad as what you guys were doing, but the unpredictability of getting woken up at the times that you don't want to, because I love my sleep. And if I get woken up and have to do stuff I don't want to do, that makes me really angry. Did you get angry? Did you want to fight any of the people in control at any stage?
The angriest I got was probably at Sam Burgess because he was sleeping next to me and he snores like an absolute trooper. Yeah. So, and like you said, you need your sleep. And when you get the opportunity to sleep, you take it just to re-energise the body. And Sam, he was very consistent in his snoring. But like you said, with the commandos, as you'll see on the show, like they get up in your grill and they give you a dressing down. You don't understand. These guys are train killers. You're not going to try and hit these guys because they will kill you at the drop of a hat. So that thought never crossed my mind. A bit of spray on the face, you know, there'll be a spit flying here, there and everywhere, mate. You just keep a straight face and keep going forward.
Did it mentally break you, Heater?
That's the aim. So they combine. Mm. It combines the physical toughness, the mental toughness. You're sleep deprived, you're food deprived, and like I said, you're on edge the whole time. You don't know what's coming up next. Like when like football is very regimented and very schedule orientated. You know, you have to be at training at 8 o'clock in the morning, meetings at 9, on the track at 10. The only thing that we knew was lights go off at 11:30 and the lights go back on at 5:30. And in between that, you've got to be ready to go at any time. So that part of it for someone who is very regimented and likes his routine was hard, but you sort of get used to that chaos and you just got to be ultra prepared and ready to roll at all times.
Heater, the toughest thing you did in the throughout the series, what was that? They climbed on a ladder under a helicopter. They had to climb back up the other side. They got tear gassed with no mask on. Tear gassed. How'd you go with that? Oops. And, what was the toughest thing?
Yeah, the tear gas was a good start to the series.
How long did you last? Not long.
Just go in there and they said, this room is full with tear gas. And they go, now take your mask off. I'm like, what? What do you mean? Okay. Yeah, only in there for a short stay. I don't think you can last too long with tear gas around you.
But... We're chatting with former AFL champ Heath Shaw, who was on Australia SAS on Channel 7. Now, Heath, when you got out of there, what was the first thing you consumed?
Well, oh, mate, I reckon in the days after I left, I would have had 7 to 8 Palmer and Potts like, in a row. Like, it's nearly breakfast, lunch and dinner. It was nearly like a process. It was just like... The first one was so good, I went back for another one.
2 in a row.
How many pots?
And then, it was easy because there's a pub around the corner, so it made it easy.
Perfect. I was surprised you didn't break out, knowing you, and go down for a couple of pots in between.
Do you recommend anyone to do this type of show? Have you got any advice if someone wants to apply for next season? Because Bernie and I are considering it.
Oh, my God.
Mate, I've heard a lot of people have, like, contacted Channel 7 to say they want to do this show, and I was like, I don't know why. Yeah. I didn't watch Series 1, so I was going in blind.
No.
So after I've done it, there's no way in the world I'll do it again. I wouldn't recommend anyone do it, but it is, honestly, the best experience I've had, and I got a heap out of it, and it's a once-in-a-lifetime sort of thing, and I'm glad I did it, but there's no chance we'll ever do that again.
Never do it again.
Well done, mate.
Well, that's probably a good sign for us, Jars, never to actually do it once.
I'm going to put my name forward.
Yeah, I don't know whether you'll get a tick there. but a couple of big prelims on the weekend, mate. You watch closely. Absolute domination. But I think we've got the two best teams in the grand final. Who wins and why?
Yeah, well, I'm such an expert at AFL football.
That's why I asked him.
Well, it comes back to haunt you, these sort of things, when you're working in the media. I just said at the time, because Melbourne and the Bulldogs are 1-2 on the ladder, they're playing each other. Yeah. And I just said, it's halfway through the year, you don't want to peak too early, they are flying.
Yep.
So I said they wouldn't make the grand final. So that's how much I know about
both
football.
Teams.
Both teams. Good work.
Both teams in. Yeah, Melbourne were flying it the whole way through. And then the Bulldogs had a bit of a lull. I'm like, all right, I might get one right. And then they just charged home. And so I think it's going to be a cracking game. Yeah. They both dominated on the weekend. And, it's the Bulldogs going to keep on rolling. And in a way that most of the pressure, even though it is a grand final, you do have something to lose. The pressure's more on Melbourne. So I think it's going to be a cracking game, and I think the D's will get the job done.
Heda, thanks for your time, mate. Really appreciate you coming on, and what a wonderful experience you had with SAS Australia. We look forward to the rest of the series. Now, on your running sheet, profession, retired athlete. I don't understand what I'm... I don't know if that's right or not.
Well, I wasn't going to write unemployed, was I? Last
time I watched you with your bow leg and your speed
and your big shorts.
Yeah,
your big
well, I did imitate a professional athlete for 16 years, so that's not a bad effort.
Good boy. You did a good job.
You did it, mate. Too. Superb, mate. You're a great lad, and take care, buddy.
No worries, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Heath Shaw there.
He's an entertainer.
I love the way he played. I love his attitude.
Not many left like him.
But you've got to man up, mate, because this is what I want to do this.
Yeah.
And I reckon I could nail this. Yeah, SAS Australia. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Gee, you coming with me or not?
Oh, I wouldn't survive the tunnel. I think you'd get stuck in the tunnel, Jas.
What about...
I'd get stuck!
Don't miss the gripping new season of SAS Australia only on Channel 7 and 7 Plus.
Shots fired, my man.
Hey,
you surely outlast Bryn Edelston. She lasted 3.5 minutes.
She's out.
Guys, the Royal Adelaide Show would have been finishing up this week had it been on. And even though it's been cancelled, you can still get your show bags, but get them delivered. Shop online at showbagshop.com.au.
Showbagshop.com.au.
You know which one I used to love? The Warheads show bag.
What's your favourite?
Lemon sour or hot, the red one.
Hot.
Yeah. Jeez, do you know what they are, Jas?
I didn't partake in show bags. There's too much sugar in them.
$2, Birdie Beetle bag.
A vegan bag.
It's always good value.
If you head to triplem.com.au, you can register on our win page for your chance to win a $50 voucher for the Showbag Shop too, showbagshop.com.au. Now, we love to get a question every day from the Rush Hour family on the Triple M text line, 0488851047. Jim from Modbury has texted through today.
Jimmy.
Regarding AFL players, are they softer or harder today compared to those that played in Jars' heyday?
What was that, Jimmy?
Pay attention. Get off your phone.
No, don't ask him again.
This is what happened when I was in class.
Don't ask him again. You answer the question what you thought it might have been to the best of your ability, please.
Can I be totally honest? Yeah. I had no idea what G
said. It's something about the AFL.
No, because my head's elsewhere.
It's something about past footy and today's footy, and that's the only clue I get. Now, you give us a bit of an insight, please.
When I played, and I hate going back to the yesteryear, it was fast, attacking, entertaining football, a lot of characters. It was more brutal off the ball, but it was highly skilled.
Entertaining.
But today's football is all about defense. It's all about... It's professional. They're very good to watch, but I don't think the skill level is as good as what we saw back in the day. But the handball is very good because it's very quick out of the stoppage.
Well, you did a very good job of answering the question without knowing what the question was. Yeah.
That's what I said. I thought the clue was pretty good.
Mate, you've just come out of the game. Your thoughts?
Well, I think that players... I reckon they go in just as hard now.
Yeah,
but there's more cameras now and there's more footy shows. There's
scrutinized.
More scrutiny, that's a good word, because there's TV shows and they have to fill those shows every week. So if you pull out of a contest, you get played on 10 different footy shows and everyone knows about it. Whereas back in the day, I'm sure there's players that pulled out as well, keeping you up. Am I, Joe?
You're not listening, you're falling asleep.
I don't like it when you get like this. I was listening to you. We got your fun facts next. Jimmy from Modbury, thank you. Well, what do you mean you're not doing it?
You disrespected Jimmy to the inch of his life. Now, you know what he's going to do now?
What?
Not listen to us.
Yes, he will.
No, he won't.
Just, always say doing this show is a privilege.
Yeah.
You're not acting like that. When that red light goes on, you need to be on.
I've got to focus.
On the lightning bolt.
Burn, get off your phone. Answer the question.
I'm doing what my mentor does.
What's that?
Not pay attention to anything.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for Bernie Fitz's super exciting, ultra mega important, interesting, bizarre final fact.
Who's ready to go? Now, I had this on the podcast last night when I left the Williston Football Club.
Yes.
Northern Express, Expressway, Freeway, doing 110. I had the facts on and I was in tears.
Well, you liked it.
It was a really good segment.
From laughter.
Because you know what? You were giving me knowledge that I wasn't aware of.
Yes.
And that's what this segment's about.
Your name's Andrew.
Well, what did I say? What are you talking about? What have you got for us on this Wednesday?
Well, today's September 15, this is a day that's named after something you'll never have to worry about and haven't had to worry about for a while.
Yeah.
It's World Afro Day today.
This is a good crowd.
I used to have an afro back in the day.
Did you?
Yeah, well, I wanted to look
what
like
was that?
Greg
Your
Chappell.
Dog's name?
I wanted to look like Greg Chappell because he used to have an afro when he was captain of the Australian cricket side. So
my
mate's mum was a hairdresser. Yeah. So I rocked up one night and I said, can I look like Greg Chappell? And next minute I've walked home looking like bloody one of the Jackson 5.
Dame Edna.
And my mum passed out, God bless her soul, and my brother gave it to me and I couldn't get rid of it for a couple of months.
You had to get the straightener out.
Yeah.
Me with Dex. On this day, 1978, the Dodgers, you know the LA Dodgers?
Yeah.
The Dodgers baseball team were the first major league team to bring in 3 million fans in one season.
Wow.
3 million to home games. Dodgers. 1978, long time ago now.
Powerful brand, that one.
56,000 capacity.
Yep.
How many games that would take to if they filled it every week?
50, Ben, we'd be talking about 27, 30 rounds.
Rounds or games?
Games.
Home games?
Games,
53.
So I wasn't...
Just touch over 53 home games.
Well, how many do they play a year? 90.
They play about... I think they play like every second day.
Every second day.
So they'd have probably...
That's a good, good one.
3 million. That's a lot. That's what we need to get here for the Adelaide Crows at Adelaide Oval. Hey, 1997. No, I'm going to save this one because this is part of my fact. Birthdays today.
Yeah, Ben.
We've got to take you back to 1254, Jazz.
Wow.
It's a long time ago. Yep. Marco Polo.
Yeah, Marco Polo.
What was he known for,
Jazz? That's what you'd play in the swimming pool with your friend.
No.
Marco!
Polo! Burning text.
And my beautiful Labrador is called Polo.
Yeah, but Marco After Polo, Marco what was Polo? He known for?
He was a painter.
No.
Oh, he was a mechanic.
Why do you keep looking at G for like hints?
No,
and
I don't.
Stuff? A mechanic, was he?
He
was an Italian explorer.
Oh, yeah. Of course, Jazz.
He was. And there's a pasta dish named after him as well. Marco Polo chicken, isn't it?
Really?
I think so.
I don't know.
Is that just
so 12:54? Where are we going next?
Right. A couple of deaths today. It's a bit sad. Just having sad. 1 second's old. Colin McRae.
Yeah.
In 2007. Now, I used to have a PlayStation game called Colin McRae Rally. Yeah, do you remember that one? You had that, Benny?
You remember it, do you?
PlayStation 1.
You have no idea.
Yeah,
Colin
McRae
Rally.
Gran Turismo, that game. Yeah,
Gran Turismo. Jeez, you were right up with it, Benny. We actually do have something
books,
in common.
I was reading books, not playing silly games like that. So I was reading novels and books.
That is a complete lie because you can't read. So that you just gave away something there. On this day, 2008 as well, Rick Wright, the Pink Floyd co-founder, Jars. This man. I wish you
were here. Keyboardist and singer. We're just two lost souls
swimming in a fishbowl. Jeez, a fan. I can tell by that. Passion in that voice.
How good's that line? Two lost souls swimming in a fishbowl. Beautiful imagery.
I think our G's got a pink date night tonight.
Is that what it said?
Do I?
Really? With her?
Who with?
With a fish.
It's news to me.
That's what I mean.
In a fishbowl.
It's a beautiful line.
What does it say? Two
lost souls swimming in a fishbowl.
Yeah.
I've never known what that bit says.
Well, you and Tex were lost souls back in the day.
We weren't in a fishbowl, though. You're in a bigger bowl.
You're in a slammer. What
so
do you
on
got?
This day,
go.
1997, this leads into my fact.
Good boy, here we go.
The domain google.com in 1997, was registered by Larry Page and Sergey Brin. Sergey Brin.
Righto.
Now, that name originated. Mm-hmm. Do you want to have a go at why they call it? Why would you call it Google anyway?
Oh, I have no idea.
Well, I looked it up.
Did you Google it?
I actually Googled it. Good one, G.
Yay!
Bang! It came from the misspelling of Google.
Wow.
O-L.
What's that?
This is what it is. It's one followed by 100 zeros.
Oh, yeah.
A Google.
Yeah.
And they misspelled it. Google,
bang.
And that's how we've got Google today.
And what are they
used
worth?
Used by billions every day.
And what are they worth? What's their net worth?
I think last time I checked, about 47.84 trillion.
Is that it?
I actually completely made that up.
Yeah.
But they're worth a lot, Jars. We use them every day. I'm done.
Thanks, family.
You're lucky you got that.
Enjoy your evening. Tomorrow, 27 degrees. So get the old budgies on, the singlets on, get the guns
pool?
Out.
Got the pool ready, Joe?
No,
you had someone
pool
fixing
motor,
it?
Yeah, no, it's not ready. Pool motor blew up. So I'm waiting for
you
a pool.
You have to come around to mine for
I'll
a swim.
Is it heated?
Once you've swum in it for a while, it should be nice and warm. Plenty of surface area.
I have to go. Thank you, everyone. I don't know what I'm doing here. Oh, it's time to make some decisions. I've got to change my life.
Could you just lay in my pool for a while, actually? You're fun. I have to refill it.
You can catch up on anything you may have missed from today's Rush Hour show on the Rush Hour podcast.
I forgot a couple on this day. Jars, before you go, hang on.
Yeah.
One of these is close to you.
Yeah.
Hang on.
On this day. That's better. I feel more comfortable now. On this day, 2000. My name's Bernie, by the way. Australian athlete Cathy Freeman lit the cauldron for the 2000 Sydney Olympics day.
Yeah.
What an event that was.
I thought we were going.
And on this day as well in 1986, where'd you finish in the McGarry, Jars?
I won it, Boom.
No, you didn't because Greg Anderson did from Port Adelaide on this day, 1986. There you go, fam.
So I finished at 87.
Oh, stupid. You've claimed another one.
Yeah, I'm a big head.
You are.
See you tomorrow, G.
Bye.